I will now reenact what I like to call What Happens When Murder Goes Wrong. When do I go back?
Now, now, Mr. Peterson, we aren't going to start up all that silliness again, are we?
Listen, Nursey, I just want to know when my trial is and when I head back to the slammer, right?
Wrong, Mr. Peterson. Now, let's not play silly buggers, eh? I'll just have to pop you in the body with one of my special potions.
When's my trial?
Mr. White recovered, dear. There's no trial. Isn't that wonderful? However, you are being moved.
Where?
Early one morning while making the rounds, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. I went right home and I went to bed. I stuck at 11:44 beneath my head. Got up next morning and I grabbed that gun, took a shot of cocaine and away I run. Made a good run.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
And we're kind of sitting here all staring at our devices, trying to make up our top five for later in the show.
Yep.
Which I don't know whether I should or shouldn't say that. This week, Damian has asked us to all look at the movie Startup, the David McKenzie film about a young child who goes to big boy prison.
What's up? Thanks.
Eric
Love,
19.
He's a control problem.
Yeah, but he's only a kid. I'm gonna tell you something, all right? This is no young offender's turnout.
And I don't fear anything.
Sometimes there's just no hope.
Kids causing issues. You know what's necessary.
In case you haven't fully appreciated, I am his father.
As we know, this is one of the things Damian loves to watch so much. So, Damian, why don't you tell us about this movie?
Are you guys, are you intentionally trying to ruin our review of this? Or is this like an accident?
I'm trying my best to make you laugh. Okay. How bad I can be. Which is usually what's happening, but you always just think I'm just naturally bad.
You're doing us a stellar job this time. A Startup is a movie about a British prison where a young man he's been taken into prison and you don't know why. The movie starts, he's there, and you see him going through the initiation, essentially. They ask him to strip, they take off his clothes, they give him new clothes, they give him a cell. And that's all the information you're given. You don't know what he did. Yeah, you don't know why he did anything. There's no backstory. The movie just starts, and then it goes. And over the course of the movie, you get to learn that he has done certain things that got him into prison. It's not what you assume, which I give the movie special points for, because, of course, sending a man to prison, in most movies, there's like two things that they do. They either were wrongfully accused of killing their wife, or they actually killed their wife. It's just the two things. It's not one of those movies. You see that he has anger issues. And as the movie proceeds, you realize that his father is in there, and you get to understand where a lot of his anger issues come from. There's also a gentleman there who is trying to help a lot of the prisoners deal with their anger issues. He's not a prisoner himself. He's an outside presence that comes in and is trying to essentially coach these guys, you know, teach them how to deal with anger. And he plays a significant role. And as the movie progresses, you get to see, I don't like to use the word growth, because he's less angry, but he hasn't really learned anything, is how I put it. But the movies are 1 hour and 45 minutes long, and it doesn't let up. There's not a ease off point. There's no, oh, all right, let us take it down so that the climax will seem more. No, they just keep ramping it up and up. He just keeps making these bad decisions, keep being put in this precarious position. And you see him kind of learn how to deal with his anger, but still being way too angry to not be exactly who he is when he comes into the prison. You get to see the dynamic of how this prison works. You see, you know, the guys at the top who dictate everything. There's a point in the movie that I kind of sat over and went, why do they even have guards in this? What is the point of them pretending that this is a act? The prison portion of this place is where the prisoners don't get to leave. But everything inside of the prison might as well. They shouldn't even lock doors. They don't need keys. This is a waste of everybody's time. And the movie is exciting. And it is engaging for the entire time. When the movie ends, you're like, yep, that is how this movie has to end. You don't feel any better or worse for any of the people in the prison as the movie progresses. You don't feel sorry for them. The prison situation is so whatever to the prisoners. It's none of that. There's also any, well, you know, he isn't as bad as he seems. Like, there's nothing, everything that you think when this movie starts about prison and prisoners, none of it changes with this movie. It just tells a story about this man and the world's, I was going to say shittiest, but no, there's worse files out there. There are those terrible people in this horrible place that we've built, we as a society has built for these terrible people. And you watch them be terrible in the situation and you go, of course they'd have done all of these things. And then the movie ends and you're like, I like this movie. There's nothing about, like, there might be some niggling things that I change, but not enough to make me not absolutely love this movie. I love all the performances. I especially love to hear British people curse, especially when their cursing has been influenced by Jamaicans. There are a lot of pussy holes in that. Every time, so the first time I heard it, I went, there's no way they said that. Rewound it was even in the caption. I went, that is good stuff. And then later on, everybody was using it. Like, God damn, I love this movie.
I was watching this with my younger brother last night, and we got to one of the moments where you're in the group session, and all of them started to go after one another, and there was a mention of mothers and stuff going on. And he's like, when did they become Jamaican? Right? I thought these were English people.
Turns out a lot of Jamaicans escaped. Jamaican went to England. And we've had a profound effect on the British. Oh, God. I did really, really enjoy this movie. So much so that I'm, like, this happens every time we do top tens, and then we continue to watch movies further on. I'm glad that I didn't watch this movie before my top 10. Then it would have just made some decision making more difficult, because this movie is really good. Like, clearly,
like, you would have realized there was no sense in naming Hobbit.
Right. But I did that, like, how it was there with me knowing.
No, I know. At the time, I'm just.
I'd have still found some way to put Hobbit there.
You'd be it like, my top 11.
I'd have given this movie a special award.
So, Damien.
Yes.
Let's have a recap, right? Mm-hmm. Is this movie British?
Yes.
Does this movie have anything to do with criminal activities or the penal system?
Uh-huh.
Of course I fucking love this movie.
There's a gentleman from Lucozade ads. He's in.
Oh shit, that's him! Oh my goodness! And you know what catches me too is because in the Lucozade ad he puts on an American accent. But yes, it is him. Oh my!
The beard.
Wow, yeah. But so I, unlike you, Damien, had actually watched this quite some time ago. I'd watched it like months ago, and it still didn't end up in my top 10.
A bad podcast friend. Exactly. He didn't tell him to go and watch it.
But
I said, hey, I like this movie. Maybe these other, maybe we can like watch this movie and talk about it on like a podcast. I could do that for these guys.
But yeah, no, I really love this movie. It kind of plays, as I said, it plays into my wheelhouse. And it also has, you know, a couple of actors that are pretty decent. It has the Australian guy who plays the father.
Yeah.
And also somebody who I kind of like, just because I like that show for no reason. But I didn't even realize it was him until the second or third time I watched this movie. Yeah, I've watched it a few times. Is the, like, what, I wouldn't call him a psychologist, but the teacher, that guy.
Quinn.
He's Quinn from Homeland.
Yeah.
And it took me a real long time to figure that out.
He's in some other things that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because Homeland wasn't the thing that I immediately recognized him from.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I like that guy.
He's
good in most things.
Right. And, you know, this movie, it's just great. It's a great, you as you say, in the beginning, you don't understand exactly why he's going to prison. And this movie does a good job with kind of developing that character. And slowly but surely kind of giving you the backstory, kind of explaining to you, okay, so this guy's clearly a lunatic, and here's why, right? And you know, it really makes me excited for the other movies that this guy is in, the main character, the youngster, because he's in a couple movies. He's in the 71 movie that I want to watch. He's also in the shitty Angelina Jolie movie, but I don't want to watch that movie.
Don't do it.
but you know, I see that now clearly. This was like a totem pole for him. Clearly, you know, people saw him in this movie and said, "Ah, I guess you can do something." And so I'm happy for that. But you know, I'm not really going to speak to specifics, but the prison movie thing, fantastic. They have British accents, that's all.
So yeah, this was a second time around for me, watching this last night.
Oh, you'd seen it already?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It made my honorable mentions of the top 10 last year. I just didn't feel comfortable throwing it into my 10.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely made an impression on me. I mean, it was when I first saw it, the first thing that I noted and was like, this is the reason, if anything else, you have to watch this movie, was Jack O'Connell playing the lead role.
Okay.
In this movie.
Yeah, he's real good.
Right. The movie has everything you kind of want from a movie like this. It kind of reminds me of Bronson in that one moment where he throws on all of the stuff. Right.
Yeah.
I love the opening scene where it just, like, it's one of those scenes where it just throws you in the middle, because it starts out with him actually entering the prison, and that moment where he gets put in his cell for the first time, and he just, like, something about him just sparks. Like, you just know that this is going to be an interesting character where he utilizes the tools around him to make a makeshift shiv, like, first thing he does.
Mm-hmm.
And hides it in a relatively smart spot where you're like, I would have never thought that would have been a thing I could do if I was put in this situation.
I know I'm going to need this. So let's get
exactly. Can I tell you my favorite scene, Andrew, is when he's like sleeping and then this guy kind of wakes him up, and it's so he sells it so hard that essentially his first instinct, because this is a guy, right, and you learn pretty early on that he's been in prison for like a lot of his life, right? This is a guy who's clearly like, he is institutionalized. So if some asshole is in your cell without asking, that guy is clearly there to kill you.
Clearly.
And immediately he responds and he beats the shit out of this guy. But like, there's a point, and it's all like animalistic instincts. But there comes a point when it's like his mind turns on and he realizes what he's doing. And it's almost like mid-punch, he's like, oh, wait. I think I fucked up.
Please don't be dead.
Yeah.
Please don't be dead.
Yeah. And, you know, he runs, he pulls the guy and tries to get to the guards and, like, save his life because I don't want to get another murder charge.
Guys, this was an accident. Listen to me. That is when that movie like kicks off.
Yeah.
Alright. Everything that happens after that, you go, oh, you definitely belong here. You can't be outside with human beings. Nuh-uh. All of you and your friends.
He's the person that you call when he waves to you.
Right. He's the person that they think that, like, that lady thought I was that dude. Like, oh, of course. Him, he has to be brought to prison. Can't alone. He's not a human. Can't alone these people.
But and when I watched it the first time, all of those things just kind of jumped out at me. All of the British-y things, all of the amazing acting, all of those things. But oddly enough, watching it again the second time, what kind of struck me most, not just his improvement, and I want to use the word improvement, not you know,
his reduction in assholery.
But in the movie,
he's kind of the same person.
Yeah,
like
he's
like saying that he's improved. No. Yeah, like his anger level was at 100 before.
Damien,
he's at like a 90.
Yeah, Damien. You know what it is? You know what it is? Like, me, he has essentially become. So you talk about pussy holes. And the guys in the group,
I love,
right?
That sentence. Can you? I need you to edit out that sentence. I need you to email it to me. I'm going to buy a new phone specifically to have that as Douglas's
But you talk about that group, right? And I feel like he essentially becomes the guys in that group. Because the guys in that group, right, they, it's like they've realized that something's wrong with them, or that they're operating at a level that they shouldn't be operating at. And it's not that they're any better. What they do is they understand that they can get there, and they try to not get there. And if they do, then they're real angry, but it's like, you know, there's a level
down.
Of talking. Yeah,
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 they can be talked down off the ledge.
That's what I think he at least attempts to go towards, which makes sense because he's in the group, you know?
Look, he is the Fellini of improvement as it relates to this movie.
Andrew, congratulations.
Don't
knock Fellini because
congratulations,
he saved
three
your
people.
Side.
As I said, improved.
Congratulations, the three people that get that joke. Idiot.
But what kind of struck me the most is the prison itself, right? I mean, it does definitely make an impression on you. From the first go round, when you see things going on, like in a way that I say the prison of Unprofit struck me, but it never really, like, you almost, since it's the only place you know in the movie, you almost never notice the setting. Like, you're paying too close attention to all of the characters that are playing all of these bit pieces in the movie that you never really say to yourself, this is prison, even though all the obvious things are there. But when I was watching this movie again, there's so many things I saw wherein, like, the movie intercuts all of these set pieces that we talk about so highly with him fixing up his shiv, him and the father having a little argument out in the yard, or him going into the group session and all of the pussyhole argument going on, where in between every one of these set pieces, you have like a little break in which you have him in his cell alone, where either he's just exercising,
he's just kind of laying down. He's just like, and it brought you back into this, into the reality of the movie, of it being a prison movie, in a way that I didn't really consider before. And it just works. It's just kind of amazing. Especially, I think there's this one moment where, like, the camera is on him while he's on the toilet, and, like, the lady's opening up the door, and you almost don't expect that to happen anymore at this point, like, when you have these little interludes. And it just kind of felt good, right? It's just how that played out. Yes, I complimented a man on taking a shit.
That's impressive. That's a high degree of difficulty. Any on anybody can do that.
Some people find it very difficult, I'm sure. Right? So, Damien.
Yes.
We all love this movie.
Yes, we do.
I'm sure you knew this going in. Like, you saw this movie and you were like, this is the one we're all... Like, we've had our issues for the last few weeks about what we're talking about. But we need something to kind of just make everyone feel good.
Right.
Feel like they've seen something good.
A good movie.
Right.
For once. And except you. No, I know that you two had seen it long before.
Yeah.
So, don't really feel good.
I did send you an email to that.
Yes, but I don't care about you. The fact that, like, it's okay if one of us have seen the movie. When the only person that hasn't seen the movie is the person picking the movie, not really, I don't really feel that good.
I was just like, sure, yeah. I'll use this as an excuse to watch this movie again.
Yeah.
Mm. And we're going to be talking about a few prison movies later in the movie. But curious for you, the way I was talking about, like, the actual setting and how the movie brought us into that setting, do you feel like this movie did something different to what you're previously used to in the realm of prison movie-itis?
What I thought they did exceptionally well was at the start of the movie, they made you understand, like, right away, that prison sucks. Because for the rest of the movie, you don't really get a sense that they're, like, being held down. Right? Because you see, there's a lot of prisoners walking freely and doing a lot of shit, like, out in the open. So you don't really see it as, oh, the prison itself is, like, this thing bearing down on all of them. Not when the movie gets going. Before he gets to his cell, you're like, oh, this is the worst place in the world. Like, even the thing where, like, as he's walking to his cell, the guy's like, face the wall. And, like, as he's closing the doors, hearing everything creak and clang, and this, like, it's silent, but then you hear, like, other prisoners off in the distance. But there's nothing. It is a place that is filled with people, but feels empty, feels lonely and distant, and feels claustrophobic. And all of that they achieved just walking this fool from the place where there's, like, people, and the place is like the further he gets from that first place that he enters from, is the less color you see on everything. Like, he's just walking, and the room that he's in where like, take off your clothes and whatever, you see it was well painted, and there's, like, things on shelves. But as he keeps going, it is just metal on top of metal. It is poorly lit. By the time he gets to the cell, like, the guy is mopping the floor, and you can't tell where or why he's mopping. Because no matter how much time he wipes that floor, it's still going to look like garbage. Like, it looks dirty, even as he's wiping it. And, like, when he gets into the cell, you can see that they've painted it. But it is the least lovely. Like, it is the... I don't know if there's a painting that says jail on the side. But this is the color that they're painting all those cells. It is a depressing color.
It's just weird yellow.
Yeah. I've never seen that anywhere.
Like
is that just yellow on top of blood and dirt? Is
like when you see it, it almost looks like it's they figured out a way to have fluorescent light paint onto the wall.
This grimy paint, which is impressive. But then the movie get like the movie establishes you don't want to go to prison. No one wants to be in prison. But this is the story we're going to tell. And like the rest of the movie, you go, oh, well, there's people walking up and down, and like the guards are dicks all the time. Because you've seen prison movies where the guards are just the worst people in the world. This is not one of those movies. The guards are really bad. But it's not a story about the guards. It's a story about the prisoners. And you watch it, yeah. But I enjoyed that. I enjoyed, remember Down by Law? Right. Mm-hmm. As they were in the prison, like, there was this thing where they kept marking the walls.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is how they marked how time passed.
Yeah.
And you saw, as they were making marks in the wall, like, you just saw the prison get like, it wasn't spectacular to begin with. But as the notches kept going on the wall and the camera panned, this prison just got exponentially shittier. And like, oh my god, they've been in here for like 100 years. I like when they do that. I like, because you're telling a movie about this place that is terrible. But you need to give, like, it shouldn't feel, and some prison movies get this wrong. Like, it feels okay that people are here.
Feels like, it feels like you've been put in a corner. And, like, it's not good to be put in a corner. But, because like,
you don't put me in a
corner. Right? But you're just kind of in a corner. Like, it's not anything totally negative other than you're not outside.
Right.
Right?
Like, they need to, prison movies need to remind you that no one should be here. Like, this is not a thing that humans, like, we as humanity, we've done this. But it is not okay that we have to do it.
And you know what's the weirdest thing about it? Right? You and me watching this movie, we look at it and we go, right, we're never going there. We're going to do everything in our power to never be there.
Do not go there.
I think if Eric Love was watching this movie, he'd be like, how can I get there? Right. That looks like fun.
Oh, it's okay. It's not bad.
Because, yeah. I mean, when you see some of the stuff that he does in his movie, it's like, the way that he just ends up laughing off some of the stuff, right? Yeah. There are definitely points where you see him break, right?
Like, when I watch these movies, I try to reconcile the movie with the fact that, like, even in America, where you assume, well, the jails are pretty shitty, there's like 2 million Americans in prison.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of fucking people. That's not a small number. That is too many. To think that 2 million people have seen somewhere like this.
Too many MCs.
You're going to stop. You go, that is why there are certain people that are so violent. You're like, and we as a society, we've gone, all right, these violent people absolutely cannot be allowed to be around us regular people. We're going to send you somewhere to be rehabilitated. And you send them to the worst place imaginable. And expect that after they go there, they're going to come back out and go, you know what? You normal people, you guys were right. Shouldn't have done those things. Right? And like, how do you threaten someone that has made it out of prison? We're going to send you back there? They've been in there. What are you going to do? They're like another level of prison that we don't know. Like, hey, the first crime you commit, we're going to send you to level one. It's the one that you've seen on TV. It's the one with the bars and the people raping people and the knife stabbing. When you come out, if we have to send you back, there's a level two prison. Now, there's scorpions. Snakes. You get a slingshot.
So it's spelunky. And you
get a bottle of kerosene. And you get one vial of venom. And this injector. That is all he gets. Good luck. Like, they just kick you down a hole. What is the vector of that one? They won't be. We're gonna shoot them. Sorry, no, you can't. I don't get it. But I do love this movie. And I know nothing about prisons. Except, like, I'm afraid that one day there's going to be like a Vice episode about prison, and they're going to be like, all right, you see all those movies you've watched about prisons? None of that shit happens. Definitely not in Mexico, because a couple of years ago, they did a raid and they found like prostitutes, they found weed, they were like shit that, they found an ATV and like plasma TVs inside the prison. Like, no one, like, not prostitutes men, like prostitutes women living inside of the prison. And like,
were they contracted to be in there? Or were they just like, we know customers are there, let's go there and freelance?
Like, the criminals inside had so much power and influence over the prison that they knew better than to leave the prison because someone would catch on. But by and large, like, there was a bounce about inside the prison. You should read the article. You guys think I'm joking, but there was a news report, like, someone in the Mexican, whatever they call themselves, did some audit, and they're like, guys, we can't, that, none of that is okay. You cannot. And I just saw that and went, maybe prison isn't
that bad.
Maybe it isn't what we see in the movies. Because, like a lot of things, movies have to embellish. Or you'd go,
Yeah, so I read recently about a prisoner who made a fortune trading stocks and teaches other prisoners how to do so. So, you know, I think there are some nice prisons.
I think we fucked up.
And I think there might be some
you've gone about worse this prisons. The wrong way. They're good prisons, Douglas. We just need to find them.
There's a prison that Jordan Belfort went to.
Yeah.
And then
I want to go to that prison.
Every other prison.
That's level one.
That's level one, yeah.
But you need money, though.
Actually, you know, some people might actually want to go to level one prison.
I'd love to spend some time on his prison.
The story of the hurricane, the man the authorities came to blame for something that he never done. Put in a prison cell for one time, he could have been the champion of the world.
What I wanted to talk about this week, one of the big things that happened in the last week gone by was American Sniper. Hit the box office.
Hit $1 trillion.
My God, that movie. I know, because technically it's a last year movie.
But wow. But more importantly, I don't think any of us have seen it yet. It came out yesterday here. I'm going to go and watch it tomorrow. But what I see the internet talk about
are
a lot.
Are you watching Italy?
Probably five.
Fuck. I'll still be at work. Can I watch it later?
I can go to the 8. what was I saying? Right. One of the things people have been talking about with this movie is this one scene. I don't know if it's one scene or if it's more than that. Apparently, where Bradley Cooper is holding a doll baby and pretending, and it's supposed to be his child. And everyone's making fun of it. Everyone's talking about it as like this weird, odd little thing, and it made me think about the idea of special effects movies and this weird thing where so many people, and I guess we have to categorize this as like people who just like talk to randomly, not like the people like us who are paying so much attention to movies and doing all these things, but who love to criticize special effects in movies, and not so much just being like, hey, that's like a footnote to this movie, it was awesome. It's just, like, that was horrendous. I hate all of this movie. I know so many people who, when I talk to them about older movies, one of the first things they say is it doesn't look pretty, right? It no longer looks like what we expect movies to look like anymore. I'm assuming that when I go and watch this movie tomorrow, like, regardless of how good the movie is, right, I view it in the same way I would view theater drama, where, yes, I do expect him to be holding a real baby all the while, But if he sells the scene well enough, I'm not going to make it be the downfall of the movie.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm kind of curious to ask you guys about that very idea, the idea of special effects in movies and even little things like props in movies where if it's a distraction from your enjoyment of the movie when it fails to live up to any sort of standard throughout the film. Whether it just be an inconsistency or just throughout the movie, they didn't have money for effects that were that good.
Well, I think it depends, right? So if we're talking about a movie like, say, The Fifth Element or The Matrix, mm-hmm. where everything is great, and then there's this one fucking thing. Or actually a better example is a movie that's taken itself seriously. And has, you know, maybe bad things throughout, mm-hmm. then it will take away from the movie. However, if, you know, we're talking about, say, an Escape from New York or The FP or The Guest, like movies like that where it's not taking itself seriously, more than likely they just didn't have the budget to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, guys, guess what? We don't have any budget. We're gonna play this. We're gonna milk it. Now that's the kind of movie where that actually endears, it's endearing, you know?
What's that British TV show that's been on air for like a trillion years?
Doctor Who?
Which one?
Isn't that what Doctor Who like built its fame on? Like the world's shittiest props. Even when they had enough budget and like all the clout, you know, all the money, they're like, no, we're going to keep it shitty. Because there's a time that, of course, we had to put like two spatulas on a toaster and have it shake. Like, what is frequent? Right, we're making this TV show for like $13.
Yeah.
But right, so it can be a thing where people love, people accept and grow to love, shitty CG or shitty props. Star Wars looks like garbage by today's standards.
Yeah.
But no one gives a. People will love that. They don't love it and go, well, yeah, but I still love it. Like, no, it's not a knock against the movie.
Thing about movies like Star Wars, though, is they can get away with it because at the time it looked good.
Yeah.
You know? But there are still movies, even back then and now, mm-hmm. that
look bad.
For no reason look
mm-hmm.
bad.
You just go,
right?
What?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But, like, I notice it a lot in movies, but it's not a thing. Like, that is a thing that I use to pile on bad movies, right? If the movie is shitty, and then I can point to the CG and go, I can go, well, they took this movie, it was so bad, and no one cared about this movie, that even, look at, down to the people working on the CG, didn't give a fuck, and that is what it looks like. That. But, when the movie is something that I like and there's like bad CG, I don't go, well, I love this movie, but that, because a good example is Cloverfield, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of bad CG.
You don't have to watch a movie in forever.
Yeah.
There's a scene where that thing hits a bridge and you go, this is the most preposterous, like, it looks like it came out of MS Paint. It's terrible. There's a lot of goofy shit in that movie.
I love that movie, though.
Right? Looking now at the alien, you go, no, I don't think. But I don't care. Because I love that movie. And so, yeah, it's bad, but who cares? I certainly don't care. And even movies like Independence Day, like when you look back at that movie, there's a lot of goofy shit.
Yeah.
You go,
actually, watched a movie recently.
What? And the movie that should have had this the most, and I don't know how they've done it, but even when they've updated it, you look at it and you go, I'm pretty sure you guys are updating the CG, because there's no way this movie still should hold up. It's Men in Black. That first Men in Black.
Yeah.
I don't know who in Christ's name they did that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it wasn't CG after all. Maybe there's a prop person losing their mind somewhere off screen. But that movie,
it's good,
looks spectacular.
Yeah, Fifth Element is another
one. Yeah, when you watch it, you go, I know this is a robot suit. in my mind. But it looks good. And all of this, some of this, like, you guys are cheating some way. You didn't take the negative and scan this and go, well, we're done. Someone is behind a computer making this look better. Because there's no way it looked that good. And then there's movies that you watch later and go, fucking shit.
Okay.
Like The Mummy. The Mummy looks terrible.
Oh, really?
The CG in that. I watched both those movies recently and I love them. And then King Alarm Men jumped out. And also Karma, that might be.
I remember liking the second movie.
I like
the
first.
Oh, all the of them. Third is so bad.
What? I'm sorry, a third. I've never seen that third movie. As far as I'm concerned.
There was a Jet Li in it.
It came out 14 years later.
Yeah. I don't think I've watched
it. It came out Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
It had Michelle Yeoh was in it too, right?
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
Listen, I did. Like when I saw it, I went, nice try, guys. No. But I love those first two movies.
Brendan Fraser really hasn't done much lately, has he?
He had a peak.
When you watch.
And he's now back in a valley.
When you watch. When you watch The Mummy and The Mummy 2, you realize that man got away with murder.
Well,
he has enough talent to be in those two movies.
Hold on. Can we please acknowledge that if you want to talk about bad Brendan Fraser, that's not what you should really be talking about. You
know, I wasn't talking about bad Brendan. Like, I'm saying that he was in way more movies than the talent that he has inside of him. Because I love The Mummy and The Mummy 2, and I enjoy him in it. Yeah. But it is clear to everybody that is it. That is as much as he can do. Mm-hmm. And if you ask him, do more Brendan Fraser.
Well, I mean, he's been more in timeless classics like Encino Man.
Look, he was in Bedazzled.
We talked about Alfred Molina last week.
Yeah.
And his best role.
Yeah.
A Snidely Whiplash.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember
who started that one? I know who started that one. Yeah.
Look, he was in Bedazzled.
Do you like that one?
No one likes. What are you talking about?
Andrew said it like he liked it.
No, he doesn't.
I remember liking it. Yeah, and I haven't gone back to it. And I will keep that memory.
You know which one? You know which one I don't mind? He's not Monkey Bone. That's Chris Kattan.
He's in some movie with a monkey. I am 100%.
I know. I think I know what you're talking about.
Is that the one with the storybook?
He was an artist and he said he made the monkey with his left hand.
I'm fairly certain it's called Monkey's Bone.
Monkey's Bone.
Monkey Bone.
Aha.
Oh, really?
Monkey Bone. Yeah.
Yeah. Monkey Bone. It was him.
Oh, okay.
Chris Kattan is in that movie.
Oh, but okay.
But yeah, he's Brendan Fraser.
I've never watched the movie, so I guess the trailer must have just had Chris Kattan in it a lot. And I assumed it was.
I'm going to therefore tell Damien he's completely wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be right. Damien.
But I did like that movie, Blast from the Past.
Yes. I too.
Which Tina Fey is remaking in a TV show.
Are you seeing? No, yeah, she kind of is. Oh,
I too saw Blast.
That's what I saw.
I never thought of it that way, but yeah.
That is the only way you could have thought of it.
No, I thought of it simply. I saw Tina Fey and I said yes.
Oh, so you haven't seen the trailer?
I have, but I kind of zoned out everything.
There was just a Tina Fey in front of the trailer.
I saw two things because I had to see more, right? Uh-huh. So I saw Tina Fey and I saw Girl from Office. I liked Office. Mm-hmm. I should hopefully like this show.
I've seen enough things so I've already pre-liked this movie. TV show.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Brendan Fraser isn't good. He's not. But I still love The Mummy. And when I think of Brendan Fraser, that is all I think of. Sadly, I think that of Rachel Weisz. She's coming better things. Oh, but that changes nothing.
Is she really though? How many better things has she been in?
She was in The phone.
Fuck that movie.
Oh, I enjoy seeing that. She was in Born Legacy.
I thought that movie was called Groot.
She was. That movie was horrible.
No, it wasn't. They made another Born movie. It's not the best Born, but it is more Born.
No, they killed that movie. That movie.
And then, and they're making more Born Again.
I know, and hopefully it will be good since Damon is back.
He's like 40,000 years old, though.
I know, but hey, he didn't do too badly in Man with a Beard.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Elysium.
Oh yeah, that's fair point. All right, scrap everything I just said. I only remember him.
Man.
I only remember him as Fat Man in space in Inception. I'm like, she can't be bored. He's too fat.
Yeah, he's definitely getting on the older side. But think about it this way. So are the Liam Neesons.
The Liam Neesons is timeless.
Exactly, and when the Liam
not
Neesons
everyone can be
did
the Liam
first
Neesons.
Taken. He was probably still like
he was like 9,000 years.
Yeah.
Old. Yes, but not everyone can be the Liam Neeson. You don't believe me? Look at the Sean Connerys.
Are you serious? Sean Connerys was the greatest action hero up until the day he
died. Like to ask how the freak got here. I started talking about special effects, and we're now debating all action stars.
Right. Special effects.
Peoria Jazz. Dudlow Joe, I can break out of any old chair, you know. The bars are iron, the walls are stone. All I need, man, is a whole fishbone.
So moving on to our top five prisons in movies.
Ah.
Because you see, we have to be clever about this, right? We can't we can't use up all these easy like
prison movies.
Right.
We've done that. I hope. We?
I think so, some point.
And I'm sure, you know, Shawshank for Andrew.
A Prophet for Damien.
The Rock for Damien.
A Prophet for Damien.
Is it A Prophet or Unprophet?
I'm Jamaican. This is A Prophet. Do you know how shitty my French is? Horrendous.
Exactly.
So it's A Prophet.
So Damien,
yes.
It's your movie. Would you like to kick us off?
Of course. I'll start with the most obvious one. Hey guys, have you been to Alcatraz? Just think about in every movie. From Escape from Alcatraz to The Rock,
no, but
to all of them.
You're going to have to decide what movie
the
it's
Rock.
From. Okay.
Because
technically then that wasn't a prison.
Vaporize. Of course it was a prison.
I know.
You can listen. A body vaporize? Of course it
of course. You heard the song Rocket Man by Elton John? You heard that song? Mm-hmm. No?
Yes, I have. Of course I have.
Because you're him.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I love that movie.
You're an idiot.
Michael Bay gave me something.
So, I decided to take this list seriously. And by seriously, I mean not seriously at all.
You had me going there for a second.
So, my number five is a movie that me and Andrew kind of... I guess you could say we grew up with this movie. This movie is...
Snakes on a Plane.
Probably one of the worst movies ever made, but I love this movie to death. It is a shitty 90s action movie, which means it must have, you know. You know, I think that's like the greatest.
Wait, I can check it because I have his phone.
Yes, you can. Just look in my take and you'll see everything.
It's not there. Yay!
So, I think shitty 90s movies, action movies, are kind of like a great repository for this kind of list. And the one that I'm going to go with is, well, in the movie it was known only as Cryo Prison. And
holy shit, I forgot about that one.
You got you.
And the prison or the movie to which I speak is Demolition Man, starring none other than Sly Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes.
Who reteamed in Expendables 3.
Yes, they did.
Hey guys,
this movie was horrible, yet amazing.
Hey. Now that I know what you're talking about, you're going to have to back off on that horrible bit.
It's horrible.
That
but,
movie
but not
is
only,
a treasure.
Not
they
only is that movie a treasure, they have cyber sex. Yes. And
This is the movie that introduced me. How sad is this?
To Taco Bell.
No, not Taco Bell. To Sandra Bullock. Like, this is the first movie that Dennis I saw Sandra Bullock.
I knew
Dennis Leary from before.
That's a very good introduction. Not as good as Speed. It was my introduction.
Damn straight.
Speed is incredible. And then I thought she was the worst because I watched Speed.
Oh, no.
I immediately went, oh, she's the worst actress.
So, okay, guys. I'm going to apologize in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've reserved my number 5 pick for my one and only real serious prison movie pick out of my list.
All right, Morgan Freeman. Let's go.
No, it's not a movie. It's from one of Damien's favorite movies, and I'm pretty sure I'm stealing it from him. It is the prison in the movie Hunger, Steve McQueen. Because I kind of like the way startup is. Like, the prison actually feels like a place in that movie, you know. Like, I think the first hour there's no conversations. Yeah. It's just prison, right? With all of its facets and all, like,
so grimy,
right? It is like Damien talked about movies that make prisons not seem like appealing places in any form of way. Hunger is one of those.
Right? Speaking of Steve McQueen, if you're listening, you motherfucker. Because you were supposed to be in Jamaica last week. So did I tell you the story?
Yes, you told me.
I was going to a function and it said keynote speaker Steve McQueen. And I was so excited. And then I got to that function, the day of the function, open a newly printed agenda to find that some motherfucker took his space.
All right.
And Steve McQueen was not
Steve McQueen looked at me like, I'm supposed to be the agent. And went, the fuck am I doing in Jamaica? Is it Carnival already? No, then I'm not going.
And why would you go to Jamaica for Carnival?
Exactly.
Like, would there be better countries to go for Carnival?
He's like, Carnival.
Trinidad or Brazil.
No matter where Carnival is, I'm going. Because they're all at different times. I have an excuse.
God damn it.
It's part of my religion.
I was so excited. So, Steve, if you're listening, I expect you to come down here and apologize in person.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Damien, you're number 4.
So, these prisons don't have any names. They've appeared in various forms, in various movies. But they all share one motif. There's no metal allowed in any of these prisons. Watching them suspend Magneto in plastic cells in every X-Men movie is one of the things I've come to expect and enjoy about all of the, especially X2, when there's this collapsing plastic gel door thing that leads in there. Like, how does this work
without metal?
What have you built? How are you suspending this? How? None of this makes any sense.
Damien, all the circuitry is in plastic.
Exactly. How is this lit? Let me get this straight. You guys have built special new materials to do all this shit, and you're afraid of mutants? How and why? This man bends metal with his mind. The mere fact that you have him here means you've built the greatest thing in the world. Use that. Okay. Plastic prisons for Magneto.
So speaking of the mind, Damien,
mm-hmm.
my number 4 is the mind. Because the mind is your only prison. Okay, that was a dumb joke. So my number 4.
Yeah. I hate Douglas. All
right.
I said that, right?
So
you have to say it closer to the
mic.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Fuck you, Douglas.
I'm being serious right now.
Oh my god. Oh.
We were watching Rush this morning.
That movie was awesome. But so listen.
Is awesome. Still is.
Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that 90s action movies were the greatest? And that prisons in 90s action movies are the greatest?
I'm fucked up.
And they are so great that shitty rappers even make music videos based on these prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is wonderful. So, imagine a world where you are enough of a criminal.
I hate Douglas.
You are so fiendish that in order to make sure that you don't escape from the prison, there are extra rules. There are special rules. Like, you know, you need to wear special shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And special shoes are fucking magnetized to the floor.
That's my next one.
So, my number four is Air One Prison. From Face Off.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, that movie is so great.
So good.
Okay.
How am I going to explain to my children how great this movie is? They'll have no context. They're just going to stare blankly at me as I smile for an hour and a half and then walk out of the room and never speak to me again.
Alright, guys. We've been talking about prisons. Mm-hmm. And up until this point, even if the movie has fun with it,
mm-hmm.
prisons still are kind of a bad place to be. I'd like to tell you about a prison where it's a good place to be, sort of, kind of, maybe-ish. And we really don't see much of it, which might be why it's still a good place in my mind of where to be. I don't have a name for this prison. I can't remember there being one. But there was a movie by the auteur, that being Joe Carnahan, in the year 2010.
Is this what I think it is?
With the A-Team.
Yes, it was.
Right?
We see
Bradley Cooper playing
yep.
Face
yep.
in a prison
yep.
in which he is provided
yep.
with
yep.
televisions,
yep.
with tanning machines,
yep.
with allowing him to stay with the lady guards.
Yep.
Without any issues.
Yep.
He has exercise equipment. He broke down a wall to extend his cell so that he had more space. Right? So, like, guys, just letting you know from now, if anything happens to me, if I do anything wrong, just tell me to go to that one. Right?
I'll be sure. Be sure to commit whatever crime you're committing in the vicinity of that prison. Don't do it here. GP is not like that. So I've heard.
So you've heard.
So I've heard. Not been there.
And this is also in thanks to Douglas stealing Face Off.
I have to add things to my list because he's stolen Face Off, but that's fine. I came prepared.
No, and I'm confused. I don't see why Damien hasn't started to play Dirty yet. Damien can literally delete everything from my fake list.
I could. But I have my own.
Check them off.
Like, oh, you know, no, you didn't remember any of this. My next movie... Douglas made a shitty joke about this earlier. But my next movie is literally a prisoner of the mind. It is The Matrix. A prison where robots keep you fed and all you have to do is provide power for them, which scientifically doesn't make any sense, but we look past that. At least they should have. They didn't, which is why we got two more Matrix movies. Let's ignore those. But that first time when you saw the thing unhook Neo, you're like, this movie is incredible. And they threw all of that goodwill away. But yeah, that's a bad prison. I want to be. But when the robots come, I'm going to ask them to murder me. I'll be the fool that you guys get, because you guys are going to bow to your robot overlords.
I'll do that. I'm not going to be one of those rebellious types.
I'm going to allow myself to be murdered by robots when the Google bots, because they bought Big Dog from whatever that company is. So when that thing finally has all the information and comes
on
to kill all of us, but first kills everyone at Google so that they can shut him down, then we're off. I'm just going to throw myself off a cliff or something.
Yeah, makes sense. So, my number three is, oh my goodness, what a prison. So, you know that you've come up with a real, let's call it an institution, right? When your prison isn't just a prison. Your prison is a whole fucking island, right? So there is a movie that Andrew still hasn't fucking watched, by the way. And I'm disappointed in that. There is a movie by the name of Papillon. Right? And the prison in this movie is called Devil's Island. And it is literally an island. Actually, I think it's a string of islands. It's two or three of them. Where they just ship them off to. And they're like, guys.
So like Australia?
Yeah, like Australia, except I think Australia, they got a little bit more leeway. Right?
I'm kind of sad none of us seem to have picked a random Australian movie. Just saying, they're in a prison.
That's funny. We still have some movies to go, don't worry. Yeah. And the movie itself is awesome. And Steve McQueen, again, the real Steve McQueen, fucking escapes from this movie. From this prison.
The real one.
Yeah.
And this goddamn imposter that didn't show up in Jamaica.
God damn it. Is he really real? I don't think so.
He was a hologram in the Oscars. That's it.
Exactly. But no, this movie is great. This prison is pretty intimidating, you know? I almost chose another like prison from a similar movie, but I did not. I'll let Andrew pick it. We'll see if he does.
So my number three movie, my number three prison, sorry, is actually a refurbished prison in the movie. It doesn't start out as a prison. It's actually a fortress. More to the point, it's a castle. In the 2000s.
Whenever somebody says that,
I know,
that's what I think.
I know. In the 2000s, Robert Redford was having a resurgence of acting power. And he starred in this movie called The Last Castle, along with Tony Soprano. I'm not calling it a fantastic movie, but that prison, like as a setting for a prison, is pretty damn great. Yeah. The Last Castle.
I don't think I've ever watched that one. I like Redford. I need to watch more of his movies.
He do.
I haven't watched that many.
Have you seen The Sting?
I've seen Captain America 2.
Have you watched Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
You know I have. I watched it with you.
I'm just making sure.
I also watched it like at least 20 years ago, but I've seen it. I like The Natural. I watched that movie recently. Really like that one.
I like that you went out on a limb and said that you like one of the greatest actors of all time. Is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Your numero tre, please. Numero dos.
I'm sorry. Numero tre?
it's a word that comes before songs.
Numero
tre songs.
Numero is a brand name, right? of breakfast trays that you can get.
No,
numero is a brand name of breakfast trays.
Tree. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, so numero.
Yeah.
Oh, he has one.
He wants you to give him a fancy numero tray.
Oh, so he says things out loud and then materializes. Is that how it works? Oh,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Subtle.
Pretty much.
Very subtle.
5 gigahertz processor.
Mm-hmm. Stop not listening to you anymore. My second favorite prison is spectacular. Like Douglas, it is an island. The first time you see this island, you go, something is off about this. And while the movie is going, you're like, oh, this is just a place that they keep insane people. And then by the time the movie ends, you realize, no, the insane person is the person that you thought was looking for someone. He's a crazy person. The name of this movie is Shutter Island, and this movie is incredible. And the mere fact that he was able to traverse this entire place like he was a free person, while the entire time being a prisoner and being watched by another, this is this is some good prison.
They're like, why aren't you searching? You just see all the guys just standing around.
Why? Why would we look for me? What would be the point? Where are you going? Oh, what's that? Nowhere. Is where you're going. You know, keep walking and looking for your wife. Good luck with that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. She didn't leave you, I promise.
I'm sure she didn't. You look hard enough, sir. Sure, you'll find her. Oh no, you're not crazy. We are hiding her. Don't you worry.
So I have a feeling like, excuse me, like my next pick really shouldn't be on my list. And that the prison, or my love for this prison, is really only enhanced by my love for this movie. But I'm going to pick it anyway. And I'm going to pick Zubroka's prison. And that's the name
pretty
of
sure
the
what
prison.
He said. He's racist.
In, yeah, pretty sure. In the Grand Budapest Hotel. And I All enjoy right. the slapstick ridiculousness that happens in that prison. And
that prison
you
break.
You have to understand, right? If
the
if
world's
you,
worst prison.
If you learn anything from the Penny Dreadfuls, is that you can't be somebody's bitch. You make sure that you're not the candy ass. Okay? Oh, I love it.
Can we stop this podcast and just watch Grand Budapest again? No? Alright. My number two, it's one of the more obvious picks that comes with this list. It's the State of New York. In Escape from New York, right? Because what's more terrifying about a prison other than it's actually run by the man who sings the song, the Shaft song?
You know, I've never watched that movie. The
movie's amazing.
Which one? Shaft or Escape from New York?
How's about both?
I've seen both.
So, I've seen Escape from L.A. I remember when that first came out, and I was young enough to not even know what Escape from New York was at the time. I remember thinking, oh, this is a cool new movie, not knowing that it was actually part two. Later on, I found out, and I still haven't watched New York yet. Though I imagine, given that it's Kurt Russell and shitty... like 80s action movie?
John Carpenter
and
Kurt
John Carpenter,
Russell.
It would have to be awesome.
Look, Kurt Russell plays Snake Plissken, which, by the way, in my mind, is the genesis for the Snake character in Metal Gear Solid. Like,
you're
in my
not,
mind.
No, but you know what? It doesn't have to be in your mind. You are correct.
I'm correct.
That is how Kojima came up with Snake. He has said it.
I've never looked it up to confirm my suspicions, but in my mind, that's how it worked.
That is how everything is Kojima's mind.
Snake is brought in because the president is dropped down in New York, which is a prison, and they don't know where he is. And they're like, Snake, you are the worst, but you are also the best at murdering people. We are going to give you a gun.
Save Mr. President.
So, what you're saying is that this movie is essentially Machete in New York.
With Kurt Russell.
You really need to watch this. Like, you like Escape from L.A. It is not. It is a sequel in every way.
Uh-huh.
The first one is the one that you...
Yeah.
You need to sit up.
No, of course. And I'm sure if I
it
watch Escape from L.A., no, I wouldn't like it. I watched it when I was, like, probably 12, you know?
There's so many people in this movie. Harry Dean Stanton is in it.
Ooh,
nice. Ernest Borgnine is in it.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head. One of his later roles, he's now dead. He was in Red as, like, the guy in the office who was like, oh, you guys are old, awesome people. He's an old comedian. Like, if I showed you a picture of him, you'd be like, I know who he is. But
yeah.
I can't really, off the top of my head. It's a great movie. I love it. And I find it interesting for Damon, who's always sat here and be like, I don't really like John Carpenter movies, to be like, Escape from New York. Yeah.
There's a lot of dumb shit in
it. I like the principle or the, I like the essence of John Carpenter, the what's a word I'm really looking for?
You like his vision, you just don't like the execution all the times.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Not all
I
the
have
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
He has
I
some
have
really good movies.
His ideas,
like this thing.
Yeah.
That
his
movie
ideas
is great.
Are
and,
incredible.
You know, and
they
it's not just
don't
and it's not just the ideas,
little,
right? It's also
big
it's
trouble
also,
in Little China.
I know, yeah, right? It's also the fact that all of his movies are, they know exactly what they are, right? They're camp. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even try. He's not like one of these guys who said he was trying to make a great movie
and
it ended up to, yeah, exactly. He's like,
I know I'm putting
this
red
in
this
doing
movie. There's a Chinese man with a hat with lightning. That is exact. That's not an accident. That is what I set up to do.
He lowered himself down on lightning.
What the fuck? All right then, Mr. Carpenter, sir.
I
can see. It
was very sad that they did not make part two to that movie. I wanted to know what happened with the monster on the back of the truck.
If there's one thing I'd
the pork
pass, if I had the paw, is no more sequels. You get one movie. Even these action, don't care what the movie is.
Damian,
even Batman, everything.
Jump Street. Dark Knight.
Understand that you can make them good. But for everyone that is good.
Godfather.
I can point to an entire trilogy of garbage.
Speaking of Godfather, the wine I drank today, Andrew. I know this makes no sense so far, but hold on. It will make sense soon. The wine I drank today was in the Francis Ford Coppola collection. Apparently he makes wines. And guess what? The wine's actually kind of good.
When he has trillions of dollars.
Yeah, I know, right? He can do whatever
the
fuck he
time
wants.
In the world.
Eh?
Why would he make shitty wine? What?
Yeah. But
all right.
That was
now
to
my made Roman Coppola, Gio Coppola, Sofia Coppola. he has three children filmmakers,
and he has nephews that are crazy.
Right.
You know?
Anyways, sorry.
I just wanted to make some joke about everything else that he's made has been shitty,
including Nick Cage.
Now my number one, Prison. I'm going to tell you some of the inmates that were in this prison. Kevin Dillon was a member of this prison. Ernie Hudson is also a member of this prison.
Oh, I know what this movie is. Wait, no, hold on. I might not know what this movie is.
Stuart Wilson.
Oh, no,
is a member of this prison. And Ray Liotta.
No Way Out.
Captain TJ.
I have
in
seen
No Escape.
Movie.
No Escape.
From 1994.
I think
I
this is the second time Damon has mentioned this movie and I still haven't watched it.
The year is 2022. They've dropped this man on an island.
Yeah. I've seen like the first half hour of this movie. I watched it when it first came out. When it like went on HBO and I started to watch it. And I don't know what happened. But I haven't gone back to it since then.
IMDb says
I'm sure
it's a 6 out of 10.
It is great.
Rotten Tomatoes says it is a 53%. And Bill Amazon has the correct rating of 4.2 out of 5. This movie is incredible.
And again, yet again, it is an island.
Yes. One more. Now, I know what you're saying, Damien. This sounds like the most 90s thing you could have come up with. You are correct.
Yep.
The technology is the most 90s thing. The idea is the most 90s thing. How do we get the crime rate down? Why don't we send all these criminal people far away on an island? And it is a movie from the 90s about the future. Guess how many 90s predictions about the future came true? Zero. Everything is wrong.
No. To be fair, they did predict that we'd still be wearing clothes. So, they got that right.
I still haven't gotten my Arthur Lee shoes, though.
That's
coming next year.
And that's the
Nike 80s. Has promised it.
First of all, that's the 80s. You keep your 80s predictions to yourself.
The 80s predictions are the better ones, though.
Yes, because they are the most outlandish, less
next
in this year.
This year, yeah.
the 80s, they're like, by the 2010, we'll be flying and shit. Like, we won't even need cars. In the 90s, we realized, oh no, we need technology and shit to build that. We are not even close. So guess what? We're going to give it some more time and make just the dumbest predictions in the world. They've all been bad. All of them. But this movie, it's spectacular. My only regret is that it's not on Blu-ray yet, so I can't bite to watch it properly. And I'm pretty sure, since you two haven't seen it, then the rest of the world also. Like, 4 people saw this on HBO when it came out. So like Airborne, only when I'm a millionaire will I be able to buy the negatives myself.
And scan it. Hire someone to scan it.
But until that day, I'll live with nostalgia. And it's incredible. No escape. Really, Otto? Oh, really?
So as with Damien, I had to go back. But I went back a little bit further.
Uh-huh. To the future.
To the future. Has anybody here watched a movie, a low indie budget movie. Indie movie, mm-hmm. by the name of Superman?
You're an idiot.
I know I'm an idiot. So, so there is there is a prison in both Superman and Superman 2, actually. Mm-hmm.
Quality movies.
Called The Phantom Zone. And it is fantastic.
Do you know, because my image of it is like the final image of Superman 2, the old Superman 2, where they're in the glass.
Yeah.
My brain just called it the Dead Zone, which I know is a Dragon Ball Z thing, and I'm sad that I remember that.
That is hilarious.
As you said, Andrew, it's like a shard of glass or crystal that these guys...
It spins around,
and these guys are trapped in there. Forever. And so, in my mind, I think the Phantom Zone is not a good enough name for this place. I prefer something more along the lines of, say, the Crystal Palace. I think that works real well.
I was wondering what the fuck you're talking about. I didn't put the two together, and now I'm angry at myself. Because I could have edited that part and punched him in the face. You would not have understood. No one would have known, but I'd have saved everybody from what just happened.
I want to make a football joke, yo.
Are you saying that exactly? That's where my thing is. But are you saying that my jokes are not of the quality that I think they are of?
You're an idiot.
I think my jokes are the best.
Uh-huh.
My jokes crack me up. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's all that matters.
You.
Yes. Yeah. And clearly the warden is Alan Pardew.
Keep going. Mm-hmm. Come, name some more Crystal Palace things.
You've got Dwight Gale as a guard.
Right.
Are you saying Wilfried Zaha is only there temporarily? Uh-huh. Right?
No, I need one more. You've named the manager, Zaha, which was Manu, and Gale. I need one more Crystal Palace person. Come, you guys can do it. Congratulations.
He's the one who's at the gate. That stopped him from leaving.
Neil Warnock just got kicked out.
Anyways. My number one, it was the first thing I thought of when I was doing this list, because I still love this movie. I don't know if you guys have seen this, if it just skipped past you, or you guys just didn't love it as much as me and the rest of the internet obviously love this movie. It came out recently, like a few years back. It involved Guy Pearce going to space.
Oh, I never watched it, but I keep hearing good things about it. I do want to watch it.
It is called Lockout. It is more favorably remembered by the name Space Jail, as it's pretty much Escape from LA and New York story, just sent to space jail, and Guy Pearce is playing Snake Plissken. Like, he's sarcastic, he's crazy, he's always on point, and it's a fun movie. Like, it is the most 90s movie that ever came out that year. for us. but it wasn't the 90s anymore. It was 2011 or something. I can't remember exactly what year it was.
It
was recent. It's fantastic. Everybody in Old Sailor Block was dancing to the tail out rock. Spider-Man played it in a saxophone. Little Joe was blowing on the slide trombone. Drum for the melody of a crack boom bang. The whole rhythm section was a purple gang. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. You're the cutest jailbird I ever did see. I sure would be delighted with your company. Come on and do the jail, how to rock with me. Let's rock.
Go, go, go!
Everybody, let's rock.
Lay it on me, daddy-o!
Everybody in the whole cell block. We're dancing to the jail, how to rock, 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 rock.
Rock, 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 rock. Rock to the jailhouse, rock.
The warden said, hey buddy, don't you be no square. If you can't find a partner, use a wooden chair.
Rock, rock, rock.
Everybody, let's rock.
Rock, rock.
Everybody in Old Sailor Block was dancing to the tail out of rock. Shifter Henry said the bugs for heaven's sake. No one's looking at a chance to make a break.